I'm going to speak on freedom in Christ as an introduction. Now, though we live in, let's commit the time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are your children. We thank you that we are privileged to call the children of the living God, and you are the Almighty God. At the same time, you are our Father, ever Father, and that you have put the Holy Spirit within us, and we have this privilege to call the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, to be our ever Father. Lord, it is such a word of endearment. And Lord, each time that we come into your house, Lord, we want to grow more and more into the image of Christ. And we know there are so many hindrances in our life. There are perhaps bondages in our life that we are not aware. So Lord, for the next few weeks, I pray for your anointing to come upon my lips, and that the Holy Spirit is present in this place. Just as the Holy Spirit has anointed Jesus to do those things. Lord, your anointing rests upon this church, Zion Fellowship, to do and accomplish, Lord, the things that are in your heart. So I pray, Father, whatever things that hinder us, whatever, Lord, things that we are held in captivity, that you are able to come in and break it free from our life, that we receive this freedom in Christ Jesus. So we commit this morning service to you, and we ask your Holy Spirit will work in a mighty way, and that the word will come and remove every burden and destroy every yoke. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Now, as I said, I'm entitled this morning sermon, Freedom in Christ. And this is an introductory sermon. And for those who have come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, it is not apparent as I interact with many Christians, brothers and sisters, for so many years. It is not apparent that they are free. And even though we are living in a free democratic society like Australia or any other Western world or any other Asian country, we are not as free as we think. The reason is very simple, because there are some things in our life that hold us captive and make us feel imprisoned. And this include things like depression, things like guilt, fear, worry, bitterness, lust, and rage, uncontrolled anger, jealousy, envy, bad habits, and addiction to various kinds of things. Now, anything that control us, imprison us, and these things can hold people back, and they will hold people down. And these are some of the common bondages that people experience in their life. And once they take a stronghold in their life, it can be a real struggle to break free from those bondages. The good news for everyone of us is Jesus has come to set us free. No, Jesus has come not only to give us a gospel, to give us salvation, but he has come to set us free. What is the basis of these things that I just say today? For that, I'd like to refer you to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, please. And we'll read from maybe verse 16 and go to verse 20. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 16. And here, Gospel of Luke says in verse 16, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the book prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" So this is the basis, the gospel to the poor. Then it goes on to further say that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty means freedom. Freedom to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Now, so this is very clear in the scripture. Jesus came not only to preach good news to the poor, but those who are, who are lost. But he said that he has come. Could I have the next click for the slide, please? He has come to heal the brokenhearted. And many of us are brokenhearted because of your past experiences, negative experiences. And somehow it ensnares you. It leaves a deep scar in your spirit and in your soul. And that you are broken. And it affects your life, your present life right now. And Jesus, good news for you is Jesus have come to heal your brokenhearted. You can be set free. And the next verse it says that he has come to give freedom. Freedom for the prisoner, for those who are held captive. Those things that I just talked about, whether it is depression, whether it is a constant anxiety in your life, or constant worry in your life, or whether you are addicted to some substances, he has come to set you free. He has come to give you freedom. And then the next verse says that he has come to give sight to the blind. Not only those who are physically blind, but those who are spiritually blind. You cannot see in the spiritual realm, and therefore you are kind of hard. Your heart is hardened, or you are not able to see some spiritual truth. And therefore here, he has come to open the sight. He has come to give you what they call vision. He will be able to see in the spiritual realm. Besides those who are physically blind, he is also coming to heal those who are physically blind. And he also comes to release those who are oppressed. And maybe you are oppressed in the demonic realm. You know, something is, you can see, you can sense it in your soul. You can sense it in your mind. There's so much oppression coming from the evil spirit. And good news for you is Jesus has come to set you free as well. And he has come to proclaim the year of God's favor. Now notice that when Jesus was reading this passage, he was quoting from the book of Isaiah. And then in the book of Isaiah, actually, there are two sentences, the year of God's favor or the acceptable year, and also the day of vengeance. But then he didn't read that particular verse says the day of vengeance. Because between now, between his first coming and the second coming, it is the year of God's favor. That means this is the period that the God's grace and love and mercy is available. And when he comes a second time, he's going to come in power and in glory. And he's going to judge the whole world. And that is going to be the day of vengeance. So brothers and sisters, during this period, let us draw near to him and receive all this, the favor and the love and the grace he has made available to us. And then if you go back and cross-reference to Isaiah chapter 61. And then he says that he's going to comfort those who mourn. And those of you are mourning here, perhaps you are grieving for whatever reason, comfort is available from the Holy Spirit. And for those who are, you know, you are going through what's called a life of ashes, maybe you are grieving, maybe you are going through a life of futility. You find that your life is amounting to nothing. And God promised that he's going to give you a crown of beauty. And for those who are mourning, he says that he can give you an oil of joy. So that even though the external circumstances can be negative, but inside you, he's going to give you joy, unspeakable joy. The joy that surpasses all understanding. And for those whose spirit is heavy, and you feel discouraged, you feel down, his anointing is going to come upon you, and you're going to put on the garment of praise, that you're able to rise up and overcome the situation in front of you. So this is the freedom and the liberty that I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. Freedom has always been God's heart for his people. And that is why this is one of Jesus' first sermon. And it was based on the prophecy that was given by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the time of Christ. And God wants us to live in freedom from all bondages and slavery. And we can see this in the history of Israel, how they were living in in slavery in the land of Egypt. And when God's people were in bondage to Pharaoh, they cried out to him. And God said that he heard their cry and he saw their suffering and he was concerned about their situation. And he was determined to rescue them. And therefore he sent Moses as the deliverer, as the savior of that nation of Israel. Now we look at the story in Exodus. You can find that there is a lot of parallel. In fact, what is in the story, even the story in the Exodus is an actual historical story. But at the same time, it is an illustration of the situation that we are, perhaps many of us are in. So, first, the nation of Egypt is a type, is an illustration of the world, of the kingdom of darkness, of the sinful nature of that of the world. And then when we look at Pharaoh, Pharaoh is a type of the devil, of Satan, who is the cruel, sadistic, and the evil king of darkness. And we look at Moses. Moses is a type of Christ, the deliverer, the savior of the nation of Israel. And when you look at Israel, Israel is a type of the church in today's context. So the next question I want to ask is this. How are we in captivity? How we are in captivity? So first thing I want to bring to your attention is this. We are in captivity in the sense that we have this sinful nature. And we are born as slaves to our sinful nature. And we are in bondage to the spirit of this world. And we have the tendency to make wrong choices in our life. And we easily fall into temptation to this worldly system. And sin is contrary to the way that God has designed us to live. And all our problems stem from one issue, and that is the root problem of sin. But we thank God, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to deliver us from this sinful nature. And once we are born again, we have the new nature in Christ. I will talk a bit of this more later part of the sermon. Second area, that we are perhaps in captivity. We are entrenched in at times with these negative feelings or thoughts about self. And some people are very much enslaved to depression or frequent anxiety. I'm not talking of periodic here and there. These are frequent things that happen in your life. Perhaps you have this entrenched inferiority complex or rejection complex, or there's a constant fear in your life, or you're caught in a performance trap whereby you say that I must perform something to be approved by God. And all those things that is going actually is putting you in bondage, or you have a frequent hatred for people, or you have a high sense of insecurity in your life. You're always very worried about this and that. Maybe you have this guilt complex constantly, you know, coming upon your life. There's a constant sense of shame for whatever reasons. Another area of bondage is number three, please. Two more click. Various addiction. Maybe addicted to things like alcohol, drugs, or pornography. And sometimes when you are up too obsessed is with work, it's also an obsession. It's also an addiction. What we call work. Too obsessed with it, you call workaholic. If you are so obsessed with food, you are a glutton. So these are the various forms of addiction. Another area is your habitual abusive behavior. And sometimes you're slave to the profane language. You swear and you curse. And every four or five sentences, you must come up with a four-letter word, filthy words. Or you are habitually abusing people or your family members, whether it's your spouse or your children. They may be physical abuse, verbal abuse, or sexual abuse. These are the various, what I call, habitual abusive behavior. And then the fifth category, what I call, you are under demonic, some of you, demonic bondages, and perhaps influence. If you are Christian, of course, you cannot be possessed. But for those who are not Christian, you can be possessed by the demon. And as a result, you exhibit destructive habit patterns. And then you are subject to this strong demonic control and influence. As a result, you show split personality. One day you are fine. And then the next day or the next hour, you just exhibit all those destructive behavior. And then you may be hearing foreign voices. A voice, you know, that is of demonic nature. Or you can have frequent suicidal thoughts in your life. Or you may exhibit some perverse behavior, like the homosexual, the gays, the lesbian. Now, this is not medical problem. Brothers and sisters, this is of the spirit. This is a spiritual problem. Any, what you call perversion, sexual perversion, is of demonic nature. And therefore, however, way that you want to treat it medically, it will not solve the problem. You know, you need to address, you know, the evil spirit that is holding this person captives. Or the sixth category is, you can be slave to your past negative experience because of a fallout, perhaps from some severe relational problem, and you're experiencing some trauma in relationship, or you experience some very serious accident, or some grief in the family, and perhaps you come from a dysfunctional family, or you're involved in the occultic kinds of things. Then all kinds of demonic oppression will come. And then you are enslaved to these negative experiences. It holds you back and it holds you down. Now sometimes we don't see ourselves accurately. We choose to deny that we have been bound by these painful areas. Then we develop a mechanism to block the pain and then suppress our emotion, and we deny the reality in our life. We may feel that God doesn't really care, that we are unlovable, that we are unable to change, and so on and so forth. Now, this is the lies of the enemy. God wants us to be honest and true about our situation. He doesn't want us to live in denial and in deception. Only the truth and honesty can we experience the love. Only through truth and honesty can we experience the love and the forgiveness of God and deliverance from these bondages. Now, on the other hand, often we may see the need for change, and we really want to be set free, but we don't know how to. We feel so helpless. And where do we turn to? So the third point that I'm going to make is this. Who and where do we look for freedom? Now, freedom is available in Christ. And it's for this purpose that He has come. And it's available through the ministry of the church. That's why the scripture says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, to destroy every works of the evil one. And whatever the evil spirit, you know, has destroyed in your life, in whatever form, Jesus has come to undo it. Jesus has come to destroy every work of the evil one. And in Christ, we can have the wholeness. We can have the full redemption, the freedom, the victory over sin and over Satan. Because Jesus Christ is your deliverer. Freedom is your inheritance. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Now, in the story of Exodus chapter 3, it shows God's heart. And God sees your struggle and your misery. And God hears your cry. You may be crying out to Him, but He hears your cry. It is written in Exodus chapter 3. And He cares and He is concerned about your suffering, about the difficulty that you are going through. And God has a plan to rescue you and to deliver you so that you can be free from this slavery, so that you can be in freedom. And God sends help. His church is available to help those who are in trouble. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing can separate you from His love. And every problem can be overcome. There's no hopeless situation, because we are born as Christians to overcomer, to be an overcomer. And God's power is greater than the devil. And that's why in 1 John 4:4, He says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And many of you people don't realize, as you take up the authority and the power that He has entrusted to you, begin to rise up and you speak His word to the demonic realm, to whatever oppression, they will flee before you. They may come in one way, but they shall flee before you seven ways. So brothers and sisters, you might rise up. Rise up to your faith. Whatever that has been deposited within you, rise up and begin to exercise your faith. Point number four. God's power can cancel your past pain and failure through His love and forgiveness. There may be things that hurt you deeply in the past and maybe have wounded your soul and the spirit. But Jesus said in His word, in Matthew, or rather in Luke chapter 4, the verse that we just read, He has come to heal the brokenhearted. And He has come to forgive your past. And not only He forgive your past, as you believe in Him, you are justified in Christ Jesus. You are made of a right standing with God. And He gives you a hope and a future. And the second thing is, He comes to conquer your problem. Whatever problem that you are facing, He will empower you to break away those bondages and help you to overcome your sin. But you need to follow certain instructions. You need to cooperate with God. And the third thing is, He has come to change and transform you into the image of Christ. Change you to be Christ-like. And therefore, you can put off the old nature, the old man, and you can live out your new nature because you are born again in Christ Jesus. Now, the point number five is, whenever you make a decision, you make the decision to break away from the bondages that you are having, and you want to enter into freedom that God has offered you. Now, you are bound to what you call face resistance in that decision. And therefore, the point I'm making is this. Point number five. Deliverance and change will encounter resistance. You can expect a fight from the devil and his cohort, as you see in the story of Exodus. Now, recall that when the Israelites cried out to God, He heard their cry. And then He sent a deliverer, Moses, to be their deliverer. And then what happened next? When Moses went to negotiate with the King Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he even made things more difficult for the people of Israel. And then what happened? God has to inflict 10 plague judgment upon the kingdom of darkness, the land of Egypt. And even between those what you call a plague judgment, Pharaoh was playing very, very cunningly. He was negotiating things with Moses again. And in fact, he offered he tempted him in three areas. But then each time, Moses did not yield in. And he continued to stay faithful unto the Lord. And even after the plague were inflicted upon the nation of Egypt, you know, while they are along the journey, the people, the Israelites were discouraged. They wanted to give up. Even when they come out of the land, they were discouraged. They wanted to go back to the land of slavery, to Egypt. So, things can get worse before they can get better. But God is faithful. He fulfilled what He promised to the nation of Israel. And even after they have been led out of the Egypt, and God is bringing through the wilderness, you will experience some of this wilderness. And when God brings them into the promised land, and that is when there was a passing of baton from Moses to Joshua. And when they go into the promised land, you know, the land of milk and honey, there are so many enemies that they have to face. In fact, they were giants in the land. And then Joshua have to take what they call the step, the bold and courageous step to overcome all these enemies. In fact, there were 31 kings in that particular den, into a particular land. And Joshua has to, you know, by faith, you know, obey God and take possession of the land. Even though they legally belongs to them, God says, I've given you the land. And God says that in His word, that I've given you the freedom. But whatever bondages that is holding you, you know, you are going to fight because God wants to train you for warfare. So, like Joshua, we have the responsibility to remove the enemy and the stronghold in our life. Whether it is depression, whether it is addiction, whether it is a rage and uncontrolled anger, whether it is jealousy or envy, or whatever things that ensnare us, or whatever kind of perversion, you know, we have the responsibility to remove this enemy and stronghold in our life. And you must be determined to do so, just as Joshua was determined to conquer all that is rightfully them. Freedom is your inheritance. And therefore, we have to rise up and we have to overcome all the enemy that is before us. But you have to follow certain instruction. I like to highlight to you that sometimes deliverance is instantaneous. It is like a miracle. And I've heard a story before. And people were ensnared with different kinds of addiction. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, you know, all those things are just gone. Gone. Overnight, they're gone. This is a supernatural deliverance. But at other times, it is not so instantaneous. Now, miracle is, of course, something that we need to pray, believe in and pray for. And miracles do happen, but they are not the norm. That is why it's called miracle. Because they are not the norm, it is called miracle. All right? Therefore, You find that many a times God wants us to go through a change process, and it takes time. Just like in the journey of Israel, sometimes miracle, you know, big miracle like the parting of the Red Sea, the supernatural provision of water and food, all those things are miracle. But they are also the other part of the journey that God wants you to go through the change, and God wants you to go through the growth process. Therefore, I'd like to talk a bit about the change and the growth process. Now, the first element is this. It involves process and it involves time. Now, in this fast-paced society like ours, urbanized society, we have developed a very mechanistic and a technocratic approach to life. And we are in a hurry, and we want things now, if not yesterday. And this is often very different from the way that God has designed life to function. Things grow over time through a continuous process of change and development. And let us kind of take, like, for example, some of the things that God created. Oh, right. First thing, an example would be the agriculture system. Whenever you want to, you know, have an apple or whatever fruit that you want, you first have to plant the seed into the soil. And then you have to nurture, in the sense that you have to till the ground, soften the ground. You have to, you know, put, add in fertilizer, water it, so on and so forth, receive the sunlight. And then it goes through a process of time, and then the shoots will grow, and then it grows in the tree, and then eventually it, you know, bears fruit, apple tree. It bears apples. So in this example, it just shows that it must go through the process, the seasons of planting, growing, nurturing, and eventually fruition or harvesting of the fruit. Even you look at the biological system. If you want a baby, you want a child. You know, first there will be a fertilization process, and then there will be growth of this baby in the womb. And then after 9 months, then it brings forth a baby. And then the baby have to grow through different stages of the life to become, you know, the child, to become later on young adult, and then to become the father, so on and so forth. And then we look at even the insect world, the change process, metamorphosis, a change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. First, it must be an egg, and then it becomes a caterpillar, and then it becomes a cocoon, and then later on, a butterfly. Therefore, there is a transformation that is taking place that needs time, and it goes through the different processes. So, what about habits? We have certain habits, and sometimes you have bad habits, sinister habits, that is not good for you, that destroy your life. Now, it becomes a habit because you go, you first, that it's an act, and then after it's repeated, you know, and then it becomes a habit. You repeat the habit, it's so entrenched that it becomes addiction. And therefore, it takes time to break the habit. And whether it is good habit or bad habit, it takes time. And people have done a bit of studies, they say it takes 21 days to break one habit and to begin a new one. And therefore, you have to unlearn, you know, those something that is wrong, the wrong habit, and then you have to relearn something that is right. So we can see all these examples that involves process and a time. And then the next thing is, there is a partnership between you and God. That means it's not unilateral. Right? There is a verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 13. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So there are many other verses, but the principle that I would like to illustrate is you have to go into a partnership between you and God. God works in you, His mighty power. But you have to work it out. You have to work out your salvation. You don't have to work for your salvation, but you have to work out your salvation. So, to put it into simpler English, is this God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Now, it is a very simple and powerful principle, but many of us do not realize. Now, what do you mean by God's sovereignty and human responsibility? That means whatever that is in your power to do so, God expects you to do. Whatever that is not in your power to do so, God will do. And let me give an example. When God was going to inflict judgment upon planet Earth and bring forth a great flood, God instructed Noah, you have to build an ark and I will bring the flood. Don't you worry. And therefore, Noah, God did not supernaturally build the ark for Noah. And Noah has to build the ark himself. But then the great flood on planet Earth, God will do. Now, what about other stories? And you look at some of the healing miracle that God did in the gospel. He says that go into the pool of Siloam and wash yourself, and then you shall be healed. So God expects you to do whatever that is in your capacity. When He instructed you certain things to do, you just have to do it in obedience and in faith. And then this person went to the pool of Siloam and did as Jesus instructed him to do. And then God would do what they call the impossible in the realm of the human world. He will perform the miracle. So there is a human, what is human responsibility, there is God's sovereignty. God will do His part as we do our part. He will provide the power when we turn on the switch. You cannot change yourself. Only God can change you. And therefore, it requires cooperation with God. It requires your faith. It requires your obedience. And we must apply and appropriate what God has provided for us. Now, in closing, this is a very important segment of the sermon. There are five key movements that you need to be aware of to receive the freedom from the bondages in your life. Very, very important. The first is this. You must move from complacency to desperation. Now, there's also a couple of stories in the gospel. When Jesus comes to those who are in bondages, or who are sick or who need healing. And one of that story is this. He asked that man, do you want to be made well? And this man was blind. He said, yes. Now, to many of us, this is very simple. Of course, we want to be made well. Of course, we want to be healed. All right? But God, Jesus, was not presumptuous. Now, whatever bondages that you may be facing in your life, if you interact with Christians close enough, they may be addicted to, I don't know, alcohol, drugs, you know, kind of sexual sin, so on and so forth. You ask them, you know, do you want to be free from these bondages? And sometimes some of these people are not willing. Why? Very simple. Because they still want to enjoy this passing pleasure that they are enjoying during that period of their life. They say, maybe later, not now. I want to, you know, enjoy more in life before I want to make that decision to break free from whatever bondages. These people simply do not want to be set free. Therefore, you need to move from that complacency to desperation. Now, you also read this in the story and how God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And along the way, there's a bit of perhaps uncomfort, you know, not what they call discomfort rather. And there's a bit of heat, perhaps there's a bit of lack of water for just a short period of time. And they begin to complain. They say they want to go back to Egypt, where they had fish, where they had garlic, where they had cucumbers, so on and so forth. It's the same story. Sometimes, so it's not obvious that some people want to be, want to really be set free. And therefore, the first thing that you ought to do is you need to make a decision. Decision that you want to be set free from whatever bondages in your life. And freedom can actually require a lot of change and adjustment in your life. And not everybody is willing to pay the price for freedom. And therefore, this is the number one step. Do you want to be set free? Or do you want to continue to enjoy the passing pleasure? Now, passing pleasure is the front end that's pleasure. But the back end is a sting. It begins to sting you. So this is how the evil kingdom works. And the second thing is, you must move from denier to confession. Now, admitting an area of bondage is very important. This is a second step towards a breakthrough. Now, the purpose of confession is not to embarrass you. You know, you have this idea, perhaps the evil one has put this idea in your mind. You know, if I confess, you know, I'll be so embarrassed. Now, let me tell you this. All evil vices work under the umbrella of darkness. And confession is like switching on the light and exposing the darkness and dislodging the power of darkness. Now, if you deny the real problem, you can never be set free. And therefore, we need to move out of denial into admission. And confession is good for the soul because you're humbling yourself beside God. You say, Lord, yes, I'm having this problem. I'm having this issue. Lord, you help me. And therefore, this is the first step. Confession before God. Confess your addiction and whatever habitual sins to God. And then the third step that you need to execute is this. You need to move from excuses to responsibility. And whenever there are certain issues or problems or bondages in our life, we have this tendency, say, we want to blame others. We want to blame the circumstances for the situation that we are in. Yes, perhaps there are certain situations that are beyond your control. Yes, perhaps what people do to you, you have very little control. However, we are personally responsible for the decision that we made. We are personally responsible for the way that we respond to the people, the way we respond to the situation. And you need to take responsibility for that. And therefore, you need to learn to say, I was wrong. I am responsible for this action and response of mine. And I need to repent. And when you do that, second or the third, this third step of breakthrough is coming along your way. And the fourth step is this. You move from independence to community. What do I mean by that? Now, this is a difficult one for the Western society, because Western society tends to be a highly individualistic culture. You know, you like to do things in what they call independence. Now, I agree that there's certain area that you need to do things in independence, but not everything, you know, has to be done in independence. And then a number of things that God wants you to be involved in the community. And that is why God put us in a community like a church. A church is a community. And there are a number of areas that you need help. You need the help from someone else. And that's why God has given this principle of body life ministry. And in the scripture, you know, Apostle Paul described, yeah, the church is like a body. You know, some of you are like the legs, some of you are like the hands, some of you are like the eyes, some of you, you know, are like the nose. That's because all the giftings of God or graces of God are given to the distributed to the different people in the church. And some people have the gifting of deliverance. Some people have the gifting of healing. And some people have the gifting of miracles, so on and so forth. And this is for the purpose. That's why all the gifting is not just concentrated on one particular person. It's body life ministry, because through the community we learn. We learn in a sense that we learn about ourselves. We learn about others. You don't know how ugly and how bad you are until you interact with people. And then you learn that, you know, you are impatient. You learn that you are unkind. You learn that you are, you know, impulsive, so on and so forth. You learn that there's lack of love in your life. All this you discover. And as you discover, you know, God is putting you a process of change. And sometimes we resist it. And sometimes when we are hurt by people, we just run and we throw away. And that is opposite, completely opposite from what God intended it to be. Because God put you in the community to go through a process to make you realize and then make you change. And then the graces for change are available from the various people in the community. So the people around us can provide the honest feedback, the encouragement, the prayer support, the counsel, and all the ministry that we need for a breakthrough from this captivity. And that is why there is a verse in the Bible, James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I'm not asking you to confess whatever your sins or your bondages to the whole world or to the whole church. Maybe just a select few. A few that whom you can trust. A few that you have relationship with, in a sense, as a leader, as maybe your leader or your pastor or even your fellow brothers and sisters whom you can trust, and he can pray for you. Or he may be gifted in that particular area of healing. Then he can pray for you. So that is why that particular verse is there for us. So, now the world system is the complete opposite. It is a hush-hush. You know, wherever there's anything, say, don't let anyone know, or you cover up, you know, these bondages in your life, you know, these things that makes what they call ensnare you. Don't let people know. You know, you just try to do it yourself. Now, that will not help. Yeah, you need help from the community. Just go and receive the help. So, that is the fourth movement that you need to execute. And you come to the last one. from lethargy to vigilance. Now, even after you have received freedom, there is a continual battle to snatch back your freedom, because this is how the evil one works. He wants to re-ensnare you, because his purpose of the devil and the evil one is to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So that is his mission. That is his objective. But then Jesus has come to give you life, to set you free, to give you an abundant life. And therefore, we can slide back against what he called to bondage if we are not careful and if you are not vigilant. And therefore, sometimes a bad company will come back again and say that, you know, will lure you back into the old lifestyle. And you need to say no. You need to be vigilant. You don't say, never mind, just one outing with them. Because slowly, slowly, the devil is inching back into your life again. And therefore, you need to be vigilant all the time and be continually on guard to keep your freedom. So, brothers and sisters, when I go into all the other areas, next week I think I'm going to talk about depression. When I go into other areas, I want you to bear in mind, God has been maybe speaking to many of you, and some of you here. And maybe you are not receiving the breakthrough that you wanted. And then as you review what has been just said, maybe you have been complacent. You just want to continue to live that old lifestyle because you are enjoying it. But it is a passing pleasure. It will sting you at the later part of your life. And it will sting you real bad, I can tell you. So you need to be desperate. I'm desperate to be set free. Or some of you have been having those bondages, but you are denying, oh no, I'm not having that problem. Now if you deny it, it will not be solved. You will not be set free. Very simple. Because if you don't admit this problem to God, God will not act on your behalf. God will not deliver you. Or some of you has been, you know, having this thing by giving excuses. Oh, it's not me. I'm not taking responsibility. It's the guy who tell me. Oh, he's so and so forth. Excuses. You need to own up to your responsibility. Or some of you, God has been speaking to you. You know, you are very you have an independent spirit. I don't need help. I can help this. I can solve this problem myself. You've been trying out for months and years, and there's no result. It is time that you seek someone, a friend, a leader, a pastor for help. Or some of you, perhaps you have been set free in the past already, but you have not been vigilant. You go back to the old company, and then you get sucked back into all the vices, and then as a result, you are ensnared once again. So, brothers and sisters, these are very, very important 5 key movements that you need to be aware. And if you do those things, all right, some deliverance is instantaneous. It's a miracle. Praise the Lord for that. But some of it, God will bring you through a process. As I said, you may encounter resistance, but do not be discouraged. The church is there to help you. Whoever is counseling you is there to help you, to pray for you, so on and so forth. So shall we stand? Can I get the musician to come forward, please?